Tales of Zendaria, Chapter 13, Regrets.
I'm no one, April stuttered, shying away from the table of Tacharians.
It don't matter who she is, Paver continued, cracking his knuckles. You've done it now, Davy.
No, no, Davy cried, backing away. Honest, I know her from somewhere. Plus, she's not from round here, is she? Clearly Zendarian, so she's probably just trying to mess with us. In fact, she could be a spy.
Before Davy had a chance to continue, Paver had sent his enormous fist careening into Davy's head. He was knocked a clear 5 feet across the bar and into a wooden chair which broke his fall much in the way that you'd expect, by breaking and cracking and splintering beneath his unconscious weight. The entire tavern cheered and raised their tankards before continuing on with their evenings. It didn't seem this was an unusual affair. April slunk through the crowd back to Bolthar and the others.
Ah, there you are. I've got the keys to our rooms.
The elven merchant smiled down at April.
You'll all be sharing, but it's a mite more spacious than the wagon, that's for sure.
The dog can stay on your side of the room,
Phelan smirked. Salanth plucked one of the keys from the merchant's hand.
I will be heading up. I'm exhausted, he said.
What are you talking about? April asked. You look more rested than all of us combined.
It doesn't take much to step over that particular low bar now, does it?
Salanth replied, smiling with his eyes.
I may be able to meditate my way out of unpleasant situations, but it still taxes the mind.
We'll come with, said April.
I fancy a few beers, if that's quite all right,
Bolthar chimed in.
Me too, or something stronger,
Phelan agreed.
All right, we'll see you up there.
Salanth nodded and began parting the crowd in the direction of the stairs. April and Willow followed and slid through the gap the ranger made. The merchant gave Bolthar and Phelan a nod before also making for the stairs.
I must admit, these Tacharians do know how to liven up a tavern, Bolthar said, grasping his first tankard of ale. I wondered if anyone in here might recognize me.
Aw, is poor Bolthar not as famous as he thought?
Phelan teased.
Honestly, I really hope I'm not. We're likely to live much, much longer, if you're right,
the dwarf replied, supping his ruby-coloured beer and savouring every moment.
If you don't want to be recognised, you could get rid of that stupid haircut,
Phelan remarked, glaring at the top of Bolthar's head.
This hair is timeless. It would be like chopping off my identity, he said defensively.
Dated is the word you're looking for, Bolthar. Mohawks are dated.
Phelan had ordered a high-grain whiskey and nursed it as though it were an unpleasant but necessary medicine.
Says the most conspicuous woman on the continent, Bolthar muttered.
Yes, well, until yesterday I wasn't an enemy of the state, so blending in wasn't exactly a concern.
Phelan's eyes narrowed as she sipped the whiskey.
Oh, don't be so maudlin about it,
Bolthar grinned and slapped her on the back.
Just think of when you get back to normality. Your reputation will explode. Phelan Syroot, the mercenary who went against the king.
Phelan let a small smile break through her misery.
And of course there's Gristleback to deal with. Which reminds me, how much did he stiff you for?
Don't worry about it.
Phelan stared into her drink.
Bugger that. I'm covering half and there's not a thing you can do to stop me,
Bolthar smiled. Phelan looked him in the eye.
There are several things I can do to stop you, depending on how much you enjoy your manhood. But seriously, don't worry about it. Let's just focus on staying alive for now and figuring out how to stop whatever the king's up to.
I think the first step to figuring that out is behind this bar, Bolthar winked.
The next morning, the Tacharian tavern was practically silent. It was as though someone had taken the cogs out of a mechanical toy, giving the observers a brief reprieve before it inevitably starts up again. April wandered downstairs with Salanth and the merchant and sat on a table in the far corner from the bar. It was dim inside, lit only by the occasional beam of sunlight from the windows.
"You're right, lovies," the landlady called over. "Want some breakfast?"
"Yes, please,"
Salanth smiled at the prospect. The group all sat quietly until several minutes later three plates of a full fry-up were presented to them. April tilted her head.
"What's that?"
She pointed at a black disc on her plate.
"Oh, that's black pudding, darling, made with the finest blood, fat and oats."
The landlady smiled warmly.
I suppose it's not much of a delicacy in Zendaria.
Interesting. Thank you.
April smiled politely. The landlady went back behind the bar to continue setting up for the day's trade, and April casually took the black pudding and a couple of sausages off her plate and fed them to Willow under the table. It's not for everyone, the elf chuckled. Willow seemed to enjoy it, though, so that was something. They ate their breakfast happily, and April wondered how they got the fried bread so deliciously greasy. As they were finishing up, Balthar and Phelan staggered into the room.
"Morning, Balthar," April said happily. "Did you sleep okay?"
"Ugh," Balthar grunted in reply.
Phelan wandered over to the bar, sat atop one of the bar stools, and promptly laid her head on the countertop. The merchant grinned at this display.
"I think they're a bit, delicate this morning."
The landlady returned from a back room and smiled at her weary patrons.
"Morning! Bit of hair of the dog to cheer you up."
Phelan looked visibly queasy at the prospect. The landlady chuckled.
"All right, how about some grub?"
"Aye, that might do it,
Balthar replied, leaning on a nearby pillar. The landlady brought them each a fry-up and they ate at the bar, very slowly. While the pair nursed their breakfast, April took the opportunity to ask the elven merchant what would come of their day.
"Well, I do have some good news to that regard," the elf smiled. "A road that was previously closed has now reopened. We can get to Poltar by this afternoon."
"That's excellent," April replied. She was thrilled at her time in the compartment being much shorter than anticipated.
"Why was the road closed?" Salanth asked.
"Something to do with the army, I believe," the merchant replied.
"When they say that, I try not to ask for too much detail. They start to get mighty suspicious."
"So when can we leave?" April asked.
"As soon as Drunk and Drunker over there are done playing with their food."
They gestured at Balthar and Phelan, hunched over the bar. Half an hour later, and everyone was piled back into the compartment of the wagon. Balthar and Phelan both kept their eyes closed and still appeared pale and drowsy. April felt more steeled for the journey this time, having already experienced it once before. This time it was relatively smooth going. With the roads being clear and the sill steeds galloping at full pace, they could barely feel the bumps beneath them. Though April was sure the hungover duo would disagree. The journey flew by for April, particularly in comparison to yesterday's sweat-laden and uncomfortable ride. She made a mental note to pay attention to what the roads in Takaria were made of, as clearly Zendaria was in dire need of some new infrastructure. After only a few hours, the wagon drew to a halt. Clambering out of the wagon for the final time, April looked at the urban environment surrounding her. Grey brickwork was underfoot, and the surrounding houses were comprised of darker brick, though a great many of them were in ruins. The sky above echoed the bleakness of the area with complete cloud cover.
"All right, this is where I'll leave you,"
the elven merchant smiled at his passengers.
"Where exactly are we?" April asked.
"Poltar, of course. North side. Your man Balthar will be able to tell you more about it, I'm sure." The merchant's face turned more serious. "In any case, I have a meeting to get to. Are you lot all right getting about?"
"You've done more than enough." Salanth gave a gentle bow. "Thank you for bringing us as far as you have, and for all the aid you have provided."
"Ah, thanks aren't needed when there's coin involved, Ranger. But it has been a pleasure. I wish your merry band of misfits luck in whatever misadventures find you next."
"No, Salanth is right. Thank you. What exactly is your name?"
April asked once more.
"Precisely."
The merchant smiled and hopped up onto the jockey's podium.
"Take it easy, mate," Balthar said quietly.
"Thank you,"
said Phelan. Willow barked. She wasn't sure why, but everyone else had said something, and it felt right for her to do so as well. The elf grinned, waved, clicked his heels, and cantered off down the road with the Silsteeds. A moment of silence followed before April finally said,
"So, Balthar, where exactly are we?"
"I've not been here in a good long while, April. This precise area of Poltar was the scene of a bloody battle during the war with Takaria."
Balthar's look was grim. It was an unusual sight on his otherwise jovial face.
"You fought here?" April asked.
"That's right. Your father was king by this point, but I was still in the Zendarian Special Forces. A company of Takarians had been on the front lines and were making their way back north. We'd snuck behind them, taking the city. Civilians were all evacuated by this point, and waited in ambush for them."
Balthar lit a cigarette and inhaled deeply.
"It was closer to a massacre than a battle, in all honesty. We had some of the finest warriors and mages in Zendaria taking on a bunch of exhausted infantrymen and women."
"Wow. I'm sorry, Balthar," April said solemnly.
"Nothing to apologize for, April. War is an ugly thing, and it makes people do ugly things to each other. Simple as that."
Bolthar continued taking deep drags of his cigarette. So, how did the buildings all get destroyed? April asked.
Magics, Silanth replied, interjecting. See these marks here and here?
The ranger pointed at scorch marks, deep circular cuts, and sprawling, veiny gashes in the stone.
Pyromancy, aeromancy, and cryomancy. All extremely advanced levels of destruction, I must say, he said in admiration.
Oh, we were not to be messed with, that's for sure. The mages in the Special Forces were experts in destruction, if nothing else,
Bolthar replied with a hint of pride.
Of course, that meant things like this happened. He gestured at their surroundings.
You never told me about this one,
Phelan said, joining her comrade in a smoke.
Ah, not exactly a point of pride, eh? Bolthar forced a smile.
You did as you were told, Bolthar. It was the king who ordered the ambush, right?
Phelan asked.
Actually, it was my idea. I was our platoon leader, put there by Handel, and I wanted to do right by him. I thought it'd be an effective tactic even if we were outnumbered. I had no idea how effective it would be, mind.
The group fell silent.
Anyway, where are we headed to next? I'd rather not stay here much longer than we have to.
Of course, Silanth replied. I thought heading to the capital would make the most sense, given our need for refuge.
Is Plygost on the way?
Phelan asked.
I really would like to go.
We can take a small detour for a day, should you wish. It will require camping, though, Silanth said, raising his eyebrow with a smirk.
It would be worth to see the ruins,
Phelan said determinedly.
Very well. And after that, on to Gritfall, Silanth confirmed.
Silanth, is there any chance I could learn some more aeromancy along the way? Or even pyromancy? April asked. All this talk of battles and blood had reminded her just how serious a situation she was in.
It would be a good idea to shore up your instruction. However, I feel in our immediate future direct elemental magics may not be the best course of action, Silanth replied.
What do you mean? Asked April, deflated.
While you have an exceptional aptitude for them, the situations we are likely to get ourselves into will call for a more direct approach to battle.
Silanth looked April in the eye.
Accordingly, I thought our best way forward would be to fine-tune your melee combat skills and make sure you can't be killed so easily.
I'm not that easy to take down, April protested.
Had Shea come for you and Willow not been there, you would be dead, Silanth said frankly. You are not fast enough, regardless of your skill with a sword.
April looked down at the floor. He was right. Had Willow not intervened, she would never have made it out of the palace alive. They would all still be in Zendaria, and her father would still be up to God knows what without anyone trying to stop him.
So what do you suggest? She asked. We'll build on your foundations. You've a keen instinct in melee battle, and you're able to become one with the wind in an instant, Silanth answered.
You mean Leafwind? April's eyes opened wide.
Correct. Though I would advise not getting too excited. The training will be brutal, and even a polymage cannot muscle through it by force, the ranger warned.
Amazing! When can we start?
April tried not to seem too excited, but did a poor job of it. There are some things I can teach you now, should the others consent to it. This is a perfect location for training, Silanth said, looking at the whole group.
If it helps April survive, it's fine by me, Bolthar answered.
The better the princess can fight, the less I have to protect her. So I'm good with it.
Phelan smirked.
Very well. April, follow me.
Silanth began striding towards an abandoned ruin a few buildings away. April followed, with Willow staying close by and sniffing the air every couple of paces or so. It was an interesting new place with interesting new smells. They entered the ruin. It was grey rubble underfoot and half-torn down walls surrounding them. It wasn't exactly private, but it was enclosed, and the area was deserted anyway.
Stand here, Silanth pointed at a spot and then walked about 10 paces away from April and stood facing her. Leafwind, in its simplest form, is dodging. It is sensing the smallest fractions of movement in the wind coming towards you and moving out of its way. To use it fully, you must train your body to be agile and strong. You must know every inch of your own muscles, and you must be able to outpace the wind.
April stood listening attentively and nodded.
The first lesson is a simple one. Enter a state of oneness with the wind and dodge.
Dodge what? April began asking, and before she could finish, a small piece of rubble hit the side of her head.
Ow! She shouted. What was that for?
Silanth picked up and threw another stone at April, who this time took it to the chest. It was then that she took the hint and dropped into the meditative state of oneness with the wind. She could feel every whisper of wind moving around her, and when the next piece of rubble came, she inched her head to the left and dodged it. Another came, and she moved her head the other way, dodging that one too. Willow also began dancing back and forth, though no stones were coming anywhere near her. April got the feeling Salanth was going easy on her, and this was confirmed a moment later when the stones began coming at her in shorter intervals and aiming more for her center of mass. "Move your entire body!" Salanth shouted, hurling pieces of rubble as thick and fast as he could. April could feel multiple currents of wind speeding towards her with small rocks just behind them. She urged her body to move faster and dodge out of the way, straining her core muscles, but she inevitably took several stones to the chest and stomach. Her head remained stone-free, which was something, but she was confronted with the very visceral pain of failure. After just a few minutes of this, April was sweating and exhausted. "It would appear stamina is a key concern with your fitness, Princess," Salanth observed. "But this is a good start. You must remember," as Salanth was finishing his instruction, he was interrupted by Balthar and Phelan running over to them. "Takarian army!" Balthar shouted. "At least half a garrison!"
"They're armed to the teeth!"
yelled Phelan. Sure enough, within moments, tens of soldiers adorned with the white podflower of Takaria surrounded the ruin.
"What do we do?"
Phelan asked through gritted teeth, watching their attackers carefully. "We cannot kill them," Salanth replied quickly. "This is our one point of sanctuary, and we cannot afford to become fugitives here as well."
"Then what do we do?"
Balthar asked hurriedly.
"If we must fight, do so non-lethally. Understood?" Salanth asked.
"Understood,"
Balthar and Phelan replied in unison, sheathing their weapons and raising their fists.
"What should I do?" April asked. "Don't fight unless you have to, and don't get captured," Salanth replied.
The first line of Takarian soldiers closed in with pikes, marching in lockstep and pointing the spear's end at the group. Balthar feigned moving forward several times in a sharp motion, before finally hurling himself between two of the pikes, holding his arms out and knocking a pair of soldiers to the floor in a clotheslining motion. Following the dwarf's cue, Phelan leapt high in the air and landed with her feet on another pair of soldiers' hands, knocking their pikes to the floor as she brought her fists crashing down into their necks. Salanth stood back a few paces and eyed up the remaining front line, before making a quick sweeping motion with his hands in relaxed form. A wave of air burst towards the soldiers in a horizontal line and pushed them over in one swift attack. April watched this from behind, awestruck by the power of her companions. She wanted nothing more than to help, but decided to follow Salanth's instruction and stay back with Willow. The next row of soldiers advanced, this time with sword and round shield, and they attacked in a forthright and righteously angry manner. After several minutes of fighting and April's group merrily knocking down line after line of Takarians, a voice cut through the commotion.
"Stop! Lay down your arms, men!"
The soldiers stopped almost instantly. It was such a surprise to Balthar that he only realized they'd stopped fighting after already knocking a few more of them to the floor. He turned his head to look at who commanded the garrisoned soldiers, and saw an official-looking man stepping down from a carriage wearing all white. He had a dark, wispy goatee, slicked back hair, and a long mustache. He was also, from what Balthar could see, about April's height.
"Balthar of Landreth, Phelan Syrut, former Ranger Salanth, and Princess April Corsteed."
The group stood wide-eyed and staring.
"King Beefold requests your presence in Gritfall."
Hi, and thank you so much for listening to Tales of Zendaria. I hope you have enjoyed this week's chapter. There's not much in the way of news this week, but just a few things. So the very first bonus mini chapter is up on Patreon for patrons. It is called The Royal Library, and happens prior to the events of the very first chapter. So a little bit of a prequel for you, just adding some context to Zendaya itself. My first vlog is up, which was quite exciting. Just a 10-minute chat, really, and I'd like to know more about you patrons as well. If you go onto the Patreon and have a look, and please watch it and comment beneath, that would be awesome. There's a blog up there as well. The written editions of all of the chapters are going up for patrons. I'm about halfway there at this point, aiming to get the other half done this week, so that should be really cool. Also looking into merch, particularly stickers and badges at the moment. So for patrons of a certain level and above, you will get those sent out to you automatically. Yeah, if you aren't currently a patron and want to look at all this cool stuff, please have a look at patreon.com/TalesofZendaya. If you can't afford to subscribe to one of the tiers on Patreon, another way to help me out massively would be to leave reviews and follow Tales of Zendaya on social media. Those would be a huge help to me. And, you know, tell your friends, you know, word of mouth at this stage, it really means a lot. Okay, and now to mention the top tier patrons, which at this stage consists of one Kaz Moomin. Kaz, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, genuinely, you are excellent. And that about wraps it up for this week's chapter. So stay safe, take care, and see you next week for more Tales of Zendaya.